You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
So the reading is from Daniel 4, verses 1 to 18, so page 887. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the people, nations, and men of every language who live in the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home at my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground and the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him. The decision is announced by messengers, the holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. 888, page 888, Daniel 4, and he'll announce it.
So it's Daniel 4, verses 19 to 37. Page 888. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Take your seats. It's great that we serve a God who speaks to us. And so, in that light, please do take your Bibles and open them up to Daniel chapter 4 on page 887. We're going to be referring to and from Daniel 4 all the way through, so it's going to be helpful to have that open. And I know that song's a prayer, but let's just pray one more time as well. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, please may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer, whom we love. Amen. Amen. Now, I love it when we study the Bible and we see things link together. Because we're studying Daniel in our morning services and we're studying Mark's Gospel in the evening. And the first recorded words in the public ministry of Jesus are those in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Don't worry, I know we're on Daniel 4. In Mark 1, verse 15, that we've been thinking about in the evening services, Jesus says, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." From that moment on, nearly everything Jesus says through Mark's Gospel is coloured by the language of the kingdom of God. And this language of kings and kingdoms is the language of the book of Daniel too, probably more so than any other book in the Old Testament. And we've seen this ever since we opened the first page of Daniel. the book of Daniel is all about rule and authority, kings and kingdoms, kingdoms of people, and the kingdom or kingship of God. And as we get to chapter 4, well, we've seen in the previous chapters that lead up to it how God's people, they've been exiled to the kingdom of Babylon, ruled by this guy Nebuchadnezzar. We've seen how Nebuchadnezzar has been given revelations about who is really king in his dream in chapter 2, and then in the fiery furnace that we were thinking about last week. But still, he hasn't got it, has he? Nebuchadnezzar keeps missing the point. He's not recognized and changed his life around who is really in charge. And so you kind of begin chapter 4 with the question, what would it take for a man of Nebuchadnezzar's stature and power to come to know the living God? What else does God need to show him? How's he going to get it? Because so far, Nebuchadnezzar has been consistent in continually missing the point. So it's a little bit like with children, perhaps especially toddlers. You want them to stay safe, and so you might say, oh, stop rocking on your chair or you're going to hurt yourself. Or if you're a teacher, stop rocking on your chair or you're going to break your neck. I can say that because I used to be a teacher. And the kids don't get it until finally they might wobble off the chair and actually hurt themselves. So when's Nebuchadnezzar actually going to get it? Now, chapter 4 is a big chapter, isn't it? We had our reading in two parts. And I'd really recommend, okay, that you go home and read it all together in one go. In fact, read as much of Daniel as you can. So we're just going to take a quick bird's eye view of what's going on in the chapter as a whole, okay? In verses 1 to 3, we see how finally Nebuchadnezzar's life has been changed. And the rest of the chapter tells us how. And it all starts with a dream in verses 4 to 8. And just like back in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's men, they can't interpret it, can they? So, just like with the A-team, if you've got a problem and you don't know who to call, he doesn't call Barakas, he calls Daniel. And this time in verses 9 to 18, Nebuchadnezzar, who is now older and perhaps a little bit wiser, he actually tells Daniel what his dream was this time. Do you remember he didn't do that in chapter 2? And then you won't be surprised. In verses 19 to 27, Daniel interprets a dream. God gives the interpretation to him, and he calls Nebuchadnezzar to repent. And Nebuchadnezzar, he may well have started to treat his people a little bit better, as we'll see in a moment, as Daniel said that he should, because the dream that Daniel had isn't fulfilled immediately. If you notice, it's a full 12 months later. But 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar's pride surfaces again, and then the dream is fulfilled in all its crazy details. Nebuchadnezzar eats grass and all that. Now, Nebuchadnezzar finally gets the message, and he sings a psalm of praise in verses 34 to 37, which tells of his conversion and his restoration. Well, there's quite a lot in there, isn't there? But the big idea of Daniel is incredibly clear. We see it in verse 17, and in verse 25, and in verse 26, and in verse 32, and in verse 34 to 35, and in verse 37. This is a chapter in the Bible which preaches itself. The message is clear. So we're going to have a look at those verses. Have a look down to verse 17. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. Then look down to verse 25. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. And then in verse 26, the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. And then in case you've not got it by this point, verse 32, you will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he will, anyone he wishes. Then we've got verse 34 and 35. Look at verse 34. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Hooray! I put that bit in. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand. They'll say to him, what have you done? And finally, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Did you see it? There's one big thing that I want us to learn from this passage or be reminded of this morning. Just one. And it's this. That we must all bow the knee before the God who reigns. We must all bow the knee before the God who reigns. Now, question. Have you ever heard of boanthropy? Nope. I hadn't either until I started researching this sermon. In medical terms, the condition of the king resembles the mental illness of boanthropy. In a kind of state of delusion, an individual believes they are a cow or an ox and lives as such. That's boanthropy. And when Nebuchadnezzar was at the height of his power and at the height of his glory, as the words of his own praise were still on his lips, God afflicted what we might call boanthropy, but this was definitely from God, upon him. Look down to verse 33. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. And the king remained like that until he raised his eyes towards heaven and acknowledged that he was nothing and that the God who is in heaven reigns over him. And the question that this passage asks of us this morning is quite simply, have we? Have you understood that God rules over your life? Have you understood that not only that you are not in control, but there is someone else who is? Have you understood not only that you're not in charge of your own life, but there is a God in heaven who made you and who sustains you and who owns you? Have you understood that? Have we really understood that? And the book of Daniel doesn't let us get away with just an easy answer or a quick response. Because just flick back to Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Do you remember what Nebuchadnezzar said after Daniel had interpreted his first dream? He said this, Daniel chapter 2, verse 47, page 885. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Nebuchadnezzar recognized that Daniel's God, the God of the Bible, is the one true God. And then what did he do? Well, in chapter 3, he set up a gold statue of himself, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and orders everyone to bow down and worship it. Nebuchadnezzar praised the God of heaven with his words, but then threw the only people in his empire who worshipped that God and who would not bow down to his golden statue into an oven to be burned alive. Do you remember that from last week? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to bow or they'd burn. But God saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we saw last week. And then look what Nebuchadnezzar said when he did. So this is chapter 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Well, Nebuchadnezzar praised God again. But then what did he do? Well, time passed and the years went by and he forgot about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He even forgot about the dream that he had that we read about. Yeah, he even forgot about the dream that he'd had in chapter 4, didn't he? He went for a walk on the roof of his beautiful palace, and as he looked at the amazing city of Babylon in front of him, and probably the amazing hanging gardens that was one of the wonders of the world, he said to himself in verse 30, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Again and again, Nebuchadnezzar looked as if he realized that God reigns. And the things he said made it sound as if he bowed the knee to the God who reigns. But he didn't change. His heart hadn't changed. He said the right things, but he never really believed them. He never really bowed the knee. And it begs the question this morning, have you and have I really? When we pray our prayers and sing our songs, are they just words? Or have we really bowed the knee? It's a question we need to ask. And I think Daniel 4 gives us three important kind of diagnostic questions to help us work out the answer to that question, have we bowed the knee? And the first one is this. How do you treat other people? See, God gave Daniel the interpretation of the dream, didn't he? But Daniel was worried by what he understood of the dream. Look what he says halfway through verse 19. "My Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries." Daniel wasn't one of those followers of God who seemed to delight in the idea of the ungodly finally getting what they have coming from them, from the hand of God. That's a bit different to Jonah that we were learning about at Holiday Club, isn't it? Daniel's heart was soft towards the king. So as we think about how we treat other people, think, is our heart tender towards those who don't know God? If you tend to keep quiet about Christ, what might that suggest about you? We're going to think about that a bit more in a moment. So when Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream and warns him about the judgment that's going to come upon him, he says in verse 27, "Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Repent of your sins and obey the word of the Lord." That's not quite what he says in verse 27, is it? Have a look at it. "Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue." When Daniel pleads with the king to humble himself and bow his knee before God, he tells him to turn away from wickedness and to start being kind to the oppressed. Why? Because the evidence that Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in charge and that he ruled his own life was seen in the way that he treated others. And it's the same for me and you. If you bow the knee before the God who reigns and you recognize that he has authority over your life and that you're not in charge, well, then you won't mistreat others. If you recognize God's authority over you and recognize that every day you disobey him and every day you deserve his punishment, but also know that every day he chooses to forgive you, well then, you will forgive others when they sin against you. If you bow the knee to God and you know how much he chooses to love you, even though you don't deserve to be loved, well, that's how you'll choose to love others. If you've really humbled yourself before God and you know his kindness and his patience and his generosity and his care, then that's how you'll treat other people. And the more you recognize God's rule in your life, the more you will reflect that love to others. And isn't the best picture we have of that the Lord Jesus Christ, whose love for others led him to be willing to give up the glory of heaven and live as a servant and be willing to die, even on the cross for us? That's just what we were thinking at Ben and Elaine's wedding yesterday as we looked at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. There's some great verses to look at. How you treat people shows if you've bowed your knee before the God who reigns. So that's the first question. Second question is, do you exalt his name and trust his ways? Let's look at verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Now ask yourself, is that true of you? Could you put your name on verse 37? Do you praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven? What do you put on Facebook or write on Twitter? When people ask you what your news is, what do you say? We exalt our families and friends. We exalt our favorite author or favorite TV program. We exalt our holiday destinations and our shopping purchases and our bargains. We exalt our football teams or cricket teams, Bob, or even our shampoos or our washing powders. Every time you say something like, oh, do you know what, you should try, or wow, this is amazing, or well, that was incredible, you're exalting it. But do we ever exalt the Lord? Do we ever tell people how amazing it is to know him? Do you ever tell people that they should try reading the Bible and praying to God because you find it so fantastic? If you bow the knee to the God who reigns, then you will give him praise and glory and honor. And the more you bow the knee, and the more often you bow the knee, the more you will exalt and praise and glorify him. Have you ever sat down with someone and looked at the Bible with them? There are some great resources out there. And just an example, on the table at the back in the porch bit, we've got these Uncover books. These are meant to be read with someone else. And they're just so useful. Do take one as you go out. Or how about doing the Christianity Explored course with someone, one-to-one? You can show them the DVDs and there's some good questions to ask. The new the kind of Christianity Explored line that they're using at the moment is, what's the best news you've ever heard? Well, we have good news to share, that sinful people like me and you can have new life in the name of Jesus. If you'd love to do that, to read the Bible with someone, but you just don't feel confident doing it, then come and speak to me or to Bob. We would love to help you. And there's others in the congregation who'd love to help you too. That's exalting his name, but also, do you trust his ways? Do you believe that everything he does is right and that all his ways are just? Or do you question God and challenge him? Now, it's okay to ask questions. In fact, it's good to, but only if you're humbly seeking the answer. If you doubt God's love, and for example, I don't know, perhaps secretly think that it's wrong that some people would be punished in hell, or think that it's wrong that the Bible teaches against sex outside of marriage, for example, well, then you're not bowing your knee to the God who reigns. But when you confess that God knows better than you do, and you trust that he is love, when you believe that everything he does is right and that all his ways are just, even if you don't understand them at times, well, then you are bowing your knee before the God who reigns. It will mean trusting and holding to believing things that are unpopular in our culture. But that's just like what we're reading Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to do, isn't it? Finally then, you need to ask yourself this. Are you telling other people about him? We've already touched a little bit on this, haven't we? But look at verses 1 to 3. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, yeah, this is of chapter 4, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. It's easy to miss it, but Daniel chapter 4, it's like a letter. It's a letter written by King Nebuchadnezzar to everyone on earth that Daniel has recorded for us. That's why this section of the book of Daniel is written in Aramaic. Bob mentioned that last week, didn't he? So it's accessible to many people around the world. It's a message to the whole world about the God who reigns. When Nebuchadnezzar finally comes to realize that he doesn't reign, but that there is a God in heaven who does, he tells everyone he can. And when you're the king of the only superpower on earth, you can tell everyone. Now, we perhaps don't have quite the same opportunity as Nebuchadnezzar, as I don't think there's any global superpower leaders here this morning. No, can't see any. But the question is, do we have the same desire? We must be willing to share the bad news with people that they are out of sorts with God. Even if that... Sorry, I don't know what's happening here. I'm going to take this out of my pocket. Put it on there. There we go. We must be willing to tell others that God isn't pleased with them, with their pride, and the human tendency to push him aside, and that God's not happy when we think that we're the measure of all things. But with that, we must be willing to share the good news with them too. The great news. Who do you know in your life that at this point has no idea of the good news of the gospel? Is it your neighbor who lives next door? What about your window cleaner, if you have one? What about your child's teacher at school? What about your friends at your sports club? What about your closest colleague at work? What about your mum? What about your dad? What about your children? There's definitely people on that list that I know I haven't shared the gospel with. And it's challenging, isn't it? In the past, we've given out these five in focus postcards where you can write down the names of five people that you're going to pray for and deliberately try and go out of your way to share the gospel with. If you're not using one of these, why not take one from the back? It's useful. If you and I have really bowed our knees before the God who reigns, then we're going to tell other people about him. I know this isn't easy, but it wasn't easy for Daniel to speak truth to Nebuchadnezzar either, was it? And there are lots of things coming up at church that you could invite people to, whether it's our Remembrance Day service on November the 12th, or our Christmas evangelistic event on December the 2nd that Bob mentioned, the 12 Games of Christmas, or our Christmas services. They're a really great thing to invite people to because people still like to come to a carol service, don't they? Or is there someone you could bring along to the Still Waters Cafe? Or is there something that you could perhaps put on at your home to invite people along to? The question that Daniel 4 asks you and me this morning is simply this, that we must all bow the knee before the God who reigns. Have you recognized that yet? You and I need to examine our hearts. And perhaps for some of you here, you need to realize that maybe you've said it with your lips, but you've never believed it with your heart. And you need to bow your knee before the God who reigns over you. You can do that this morning. And remember, God reigns through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been learning through Daniel, the king whose kingdom will never end or be defeated. So we'll just close with these words from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He, this is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Those are amazing words from Colossians 1. God reigns through his Son, Jesus. Bow your knee to him. And for others here this morning, well, we need to stay on our knees and remember again and again that God reigns over us. He holds our lives in his hands. He loves us and he demands our worship. And we need to pray that he might help us to love others as we've been loved, to exalt his name and trust his ways, and to tell other people about him. May our testimony be that of Nebuchadnezzar, whose last words we read are this, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Well, perhaps the musicians want to come and take their place. We'll pray, and then we're going to sing a song which gives us an opportunity to exalt our sovereign God. After we pray, we're going to sing The Splendor of the King, which reminds us how great is our God. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you reign, and thank you that you reign through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us all to bow the knee to you. Please help us to love others as we have been loved. Please help us to exalt your name and to be passionate about talking about you to our friends and our families and our colleagues and those around us. Please help us to trust your ways. And please, Lord, help us to be active in sharing our faith, that we may know more of every good thing that we have in you. And we thank you for this chapter and book of Daniel. In Jesus' name, amen.